Edwards pulls off and buries a three to get the Devils the lead for the first time.
History in the making.
It's over. Number one goes down in Tempe.
Plummer in trouble, steps away, cuts free, breaks loose, five, touchdown, Sun Devils. Woo! The Snake does it again. This team won't die. You can cut a snake's head off, but he continues to live.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Sparky Talks, your ASU podcast made by Devil fans for Devil fans. My name is Avery Vitel. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy Caleb Braley. And Caleb, we got a really big podcast to kind of talk about here. You ready to dive into it?
I am very ready for this.
Awesome. Well, let's jump right into it. We're going to have to talk about it, so let's go ahead and talk about it. The Utah game. Yeah, I'll let you...
It wasn't good.
Yeah, it wasn't good, like, from the start.
Did anyone who gambled based on what we were saying placed their bets...
We apologize.
We apologize, but you should also know better than to trust... Let's be real. We aren't working for Vegas here.
That's right.
I look at our final score predictions and stuff. Like, We shouldn't go to Vegas at all.
No, we should stay here. It seems like every week we're like, no, like this is the week like the Devils finally like have an easy win, and then of course it's like a close one. And then when we pick ASU to only lose by like 4 to 7 points, we were like guaranteeing, I remember us saying we're guaranteeing a win or lose by single digits. And we made this like huge thing last week, like Chase, like prove us wrong again. Yeah, and then they go ahead and they lose by like 18 points.
And we said there's no way Utah covers the spread. It was ridiculous. it was like a 14-point spread, so no way Utah covers. Well, they covered.
They covered. They covered, all right. Quite easily, too. Yeah, our bad, guys. Well, let's talk about it, Caleb. From the start, when I was watching this game, I mean, it wasn't like the crowd was like overly energetic or anything. I mean, it was raining, but it never seemed like Jaden got, especially in that first drive, I could kind of tell like, all right, something's different here. And I don't know if it was just the size of Utah's defensive line or something, but I just knew that like that first drive, like it was a quick three and out. I think they lost like 3 yards total. And the rest of the game was the exact same thing. It just like, Jaden just could not just get comfortable back there.
No, I obviously their defensive line's really good. That's something that we had talked about. We knew it was really good, but they looked incredible. And yeah. I don't know if it was just that they played a great game so much as Arizona State's offensive line was just awful.
Just awful. I think you're right. Their defensive line is really good. But I think it's when you play against it's like when you play, like a team plays against like an FCS team or like a group of five team and they look like really good. And like, wow, this seems like awesome. Then you open up conference play and you lose to whatever team. Like, dang, this isn't the team that I just saw. Like, yeah, when you play against subpar talent, it makes you look better. And I don't want to like use that as an excuse. But, like, my God, was that offensive line bad this game?
Oh, it was terrible. There's almost nothing positive to be said about the offensive performance of the game.
Yeah.
Outside of a few big runs from Eno Benjamin, which, actually, all of his carries I put completely on him.
Yeah.
Like, it was broken tackles and just him refusing to go down. He had some really, really incredible runs in that game. Nothing with the offensive line though. There was just nothing positive to be said offensively other than, you know, Benjamin had some good runs.
Yeah. And I don't know, like, again, I've never played football before, but I know the difference between a like effort position and a skill position. So like in basketball, you know, there's the saying like if you know you're a 3-point shooter, that's a very skilled position. You're gonna have nights when you're not shooting well. You can't let the confidence dip because that's just how skill works. Sometimes it's there and then sometimes it's not. So like the worst thing that a 3-point shooter can do is when he's not feeling good, is to like start hesitating, because it's only going to get worse. So I get that, and that's why we see like quarterbacks sometimes have really good games and then really bad games. It's because it doesn't matter if the effort level, you know, doesn't have to change. You're just, you know, sometimes you're going to have good matchups, and sometimes your throws are all going to be on point. And other times it's just not going to be. I don't think the offensive, like being an offensive lineman, is that much of a skill position. Like, I understand there's reads and stuff you have to make on the line and adjustments and stuff, but it's not like, you know, you're throwing darts with very fine motor skill muscles. It's a very brute force, just cover the guy that's lined up in front of you and you'll do your job.
I think there is a lot of like technique and stuff, and there's a lot of attention to detail as far as
you're
like,
probably right. You know, because again, I've never played, but
the main thing is typically if an offensive line has a great center, then usually overall they're pretty good because he's the guy like calling all the shots.
And we
stuff.
Do have a really good center.
And yeah, we have, yeah. And so typically,
Cole
if
Cabral
you know,
is an All-American center.
Yeah, I mean, there's a part of it where it comes down to like, oh, well, block the guy in front of you. But there is more to that as far as like, you know, you have to know if there's a blitz coming and if you need to pick up another player. And part of that's on the quarterback and sometimes the offensive line. I mean, there is a lot that goes into it. But for the most part, there were plays where you just see guys get blown by. And it was like they just quit the second the second they got beat, they just quit on the play.
Yeah.
And there were plays where Jaden Daniels was able to make a defender miss, or you know, Benjamin would, but because some of the linemen had already quit, he was already getting hit by somebody
else.
Yeah.
There were so many times in this game where like not even 2 seconds into it, like Jane's in shotgun, he gets the ball, and it's like he can't even go through his reads because he's got like 4 guys in his face already. And like he's already a freshman quarterback in a rainy situation with a wet football. It's kind of cold in a hostile environment with a pretty loud stadium. Like everything's already setting up for him to fail. Like, and I don't know, like an offensive lineman, if you're getting tossed around all game, where's like the fire? And you know what? We don't have it right now, but my God, this drive, we're not letting them pass. Like, we're not letting them. I don't care if I have to like throw myself on the guy. Like, I don't know. I didn't see any of that out of them. And I know our left tackle is a 17-year-old, and I'm sorry, buddy. Like, you're getting thrown into a position you definitely aren't ready for.
Well,
but
I mean,
still, like, where is that? Like, you know what? We suck, but we're done. We're done sucking.
There's even a point where I say, gosh, usually guys just start holding when they can't. When they keep getting beat, they didn't even get called for holding.
Like, so, throw a couple, like, illegal low blocks or something. Just dive on the guy.
Obviously,
like, something.
You know, obviously, it's good that they didn't do that because, you know, let's say, you know, the one play. There would be one play where Jaden Daniels completes like a 40-yard pass downfield.
Oh, for sure, that would be the
and there would be
and with those and, with those refs that we had in this game, they would have thrown
it
all the time. Oh my gosh!
Speaking of which, there were a few calls that I thought were bad, and you know, obviously, when you lose by 18 points, you can't blame the refs for the loss. But there were some moments that were inexcusable. I mean. The pass interference call.
Oh my God! On Ashari Crosswell, that was freaking brutal. The one where he just had his arm across
that was terrible.
Like I understand, like from TV, and I remember my reaction on TV, live, just full speed. It did kind of look like pass interference because there was like it seemed to be a little bit of contact, and even I said like Ashari, you know, because then Ashari is coming up like, what the hell did I do? And I was like, Ashari, you know what you did. Dang it, you ruined this drive. But then they show it on replay and show it like in the view of closer, like what the ref would see. It was like, it wasn't even close.
No. He just threw that flag just to throw it. And then there was another, Jaden Daniels slid, and they reviewed it for targeting.
Right.
And here's the thing. No, it wasn't targeting.
But where's the flag
to begin
with?
But you hit a sliding
player.
Right. Yeah, that's a personal foul.
Like, how does that even a rule? Like, oh, we're going to review this for targeting? How is there not a flag before that? thought there has to be a flag in order to go to review for targeting.
Speaking of, there was someone that flashed a stat. They said Jaden Daniels has been hit more than any other sliding player in college football this year.
I can see that because he probably slides
He probably slides the very most. Yeah, but and usually it does get called. So that's why I'm used to seeing it get called.
And it wasn't like it. I don't know. It wasn't like a dirty player, like a play. He wasn't trying to hurt him, but he did hit him after he was started to slide.
And they were establishing a zero tolerance thing, you know, a whole zero tolerance thing early in the game. They made sure to establish that. So the fact that wasn't called, and that was big too. Arizona State was the game was within reach, and they needed that first down. We're talking a 15-yard personal foul that would have put them on maybe the 20.
Yeah.
They could have at least missed a field goal from there.
Absolutely. You know, Christian Zendejas, he had already missed one. He could have definitely missed another. And yeah, with that, I mean, and it's not like the guy hit him like in the chest or something. I mean, it wasn't much, but it was helmet-to-helmet contact.
Yeah, I mean, he turned his body, so it was like, you know, it was like the side of their helmets. But yeah, I know there was like one other call that was just bad.
Well, don't get me started. There was like a couple like on the defense, like some oh my God. Okay, here we go. They're all starting to flow back now. There was one when we were on defense. This had to be in the third quarter. And we go and we sat or we're getting after Tyler Hundley. And like he gets rid of the ball. And I mean, our guy, one of our linebackers, sacks him as the ball is being released, and they call that unnecessary roughness.
Yeah.
Now, if this was the NFL, I can see why they threw that call.
If it was Clay Matthews, then they would...
Absolutely. Would have called that before he even hit the quarterback. But it was just... I mean, it was just call after call after call like that, and it's just like... It's so frustrating. And yes, I'm biased. I think there was a couple more calls on ASU than there was on Utah. But overall, there was too many penalties called, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And there was
a lack of discipline
Arizona
State
there
on
was.
Defense, which I'm not used to seeing in the Herm Edwards era. And that's the final score was the least Herm Edwards final score I've seen. And the amount of penalties was the least Herm Edwards... performance I've seen from the team. It was just
there was not the discipline that we are used to seeing from this team.
And I know he lit the team up at halftime and rightfully so, but I don't think the message got through.
I guess
there were less penalties on the defense in the second half, it seemed,
right.
As far as less that made you say, oh, well, that was just stupid. Mm-hmm. In the second half, it was more, really, that's a penalty?
Yeah.
But
in all the week kind of coming up to this game, there was like a lot of like talk going on Twitter and stuff. Like, and I'd never really noticed this before. Like, I've never really seen Utah as a rival of Arizona State, and I've just always been like, Utah, you know, they're up in Salt Lake, like whatever, like that's cool. And but like I'm seeing this on Twitter and stuff, just all these just wars, like battles going on between Utah fans and ASU fans. I'm like, huh, like I've never really noticed that before. I always thought like after U of A, I've always hated USC like the most after that, since a young age. But like I can see this now starting to become a rivalry. Like,
you know,
the way they played and some of what their fans were doing and stuff in that stadium. And yeah, I can definitely see why now stuff was going on.
Do you know what it is? More than anything, I won't say it because, okay. You know, we try to be more family friendly here. people in Utah, especially Salt Lake City, they're a bunch of dirtbags. I'm sorry, but. Everyone that I've met in Salt Lake City, that's like from there, they're all a bunch of scumbags. Like Utah Jazz fans,
Okay, I can see
awful.
That. Yeah,
Utah Utes fans are awful. So I think part of this, there is like this bitterness. Utah Jazz fans hate the Phoenix Suns because they're really jealous of Devin Booker and they pretend he's bad.
Right.
And there's like this ongoing war on Twitter between Jazz and Suns fans. So now. That ASU and Utah are both competitive. I think it's just like a build-up where we're just pretty similar on all fronts. You know, they don't have an NFL team. We might as well not have had an NFL team last year. And yep. So I think there's just some bitterness between they're just such jealous people, man. Now, obviously, they've got a great team this year, but it's just in the nature of the people in Salt Lake City to take everything personally so with their sports teams.
Okay.
It's like
that's good to know because I didn't know that.
No, yeah, and I know this mainly because of not just living there and seeing the hatred they have for Devin Booker or James Harden. Gosh, man, they're practically burning James Harden jerseys in the streets out there. But okay, hopefully no Utah Utes fans tune into this, because I'm not a fan of the Utes. I do not like them. I didn't have a problem with them until living in Salt Lake. I don't like the Utes. I don't like the Utah Jazz. I'm sorry. Their fan bases are awful. And yes, I'd love to see this become a rivalry because, you know what? They have Tyler Huntley at quarterback. We have a true freshman, Jaden Daniels. And Herm Edwards as a coach with a team of mostly freshmen, sophomores. Sure, let's ignite a rivalry. I'm fine with that.
Right.
You know, I feel good about this team going forward.
Absolutely.
But, you know, whatever. Okay. Yeah. But did they outplay us and totally embarrass us this week? Yeah.
Yes.
They embarrassed us.
And they showed us, like, hands down, you got to give it to Utah. They're in a different class than Arizona State is right now.
And their fans can talk that talk because although they contribute nothing to their football team, they do watch them. So they're allowed to talk that talk.
That's right. They filled that stadium. So in October, in the rain, and it's not like it's a 90-degree rain where it kind of feels nice. No, it was like 50 degrees at the start of that game. So, and that stadium was rocking.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, props.
Give it to them.
Yeah, they are hardcore fans.
Yeah. Well, and again, like, and I don't like to use this as an excuse, but they don't have a pro football team up there.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is their football team. I don't think that's an excuse, and I think there's more than enough Sun Devil fans that live in the Phoenix area. I mean, Phoenix is the fifth largest freaking city in the nation.
Yeah.
Like, there's not like it's, you know, Provo, Utah, where they still fill that stadium. But, yeah, it's not like we have 12 people here in close to Tempe that go to the game. It's whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, don't get me started on that. They won. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is what it is. I mean, yeah, One other thing. Michael Turk.
Yeah. Can we give him a little hand? Absolutely.
I was going to say the other bright spot for the defense did their job, especially in the second half, and then Michael Turk was amazing. He was sensational. He 3 punts inside the 20. And then 1 touchback, which I'm fine. I can live with that. Yeah. That's fine.
Let's just hope he doesn't transfer like our kicker Brandon Reese did.
We have Zendejas.
Yeah, who can't make.
At least he hasn't been inconsistent.
Yeah, since, you know, he was. And again, I don't want to. These are kids. I don't want to. But just, I think it's a funny statement where he was like perfect as a walk on. Then he got the scholarship and he's missed like 3 or 4 field goals since.
Yeah.
Just a stat. Not saying either way. But, okay, well, let's get into a little bit of devil's advocate, Caleb.
Okay.
I got some things here, okay? So this is a new
segment. I think I'm ready.
This is a new segment we're doing, guys. So this one, each week, one of us is going to take the Sun Devil side of things, and one of us is going to take kind of like a more negative stance. Whether it's, you know, and we'll find out if it's kind of just more superficious and shallow and on the surface, or if there's actually, you know, some flaws in the cracks. But that's why we're having this segment here. So, Caleb, my kind of hot take here is that the Devils have played only one good team all season. Now let me get into it. Here are some cool stats for you. Ready? So, first two games, obviously they weren't against good teams. One was an FCS team, one was a Group of Five team. Okay, so those are your first two games. Next game, it's the big Michigan State game. Huge, you know, Big Ten, awesome team, going to their house, winning. Huge game, right? Well, guess what? They're 4-3 now. Okay. About to be 4-4 when they play Penn State this week. Anywho, keep going. Our next game, you know, lose to what we thought was a good Colorado team. Well, guess what? They are now 3-4, and their last two losses have been 45-3 to Oregon and 41-10 to Wazoo. That loss was at home, by the way, for the Devils. Anyway, all right, let's keep going. Now we go up to Berkeley. Okay, we play a really good Cal game. Really good Cal team, you know, 15 in the nation. You know, undefeated, 4-0. Well, guess what? They're 4-3 now, and they just lost to Oregon State. Now, also in that game, their starting quarterback, Chase Gerbers, has beaten us. I think it was like 10-7. He's driving down the field late in the second quarter. He goes down with an injury. He's now out for the season. But we were going to lose that game if Chase would have stayed in it, just so you know. Next, okay, our next game, Wazoo. You know, high-powered offense, great team, Mike Leach. Well, guess what? They've lost to UCLA, and their really good win was against a Houston team who is now 2-4. So really, the Devils have only played one good team, and that's Utah, and they were just outclassed by them 21-3. What do you have to say?
I disagree. Okay. So I think Wazoo is a good team. They aren't a great team, but I think right now, when ASU played them, that they had kind of turned it around a little bit. Okay. And I don't think it was Arizona State not being good as the reason for that.
Just so you know, so I don't mean to cut you off, but in our rankings that we're going to get to here in a second, all the teams we've beat in the Pac-12 are in the lower half of our station. Colorado we have at 9. We lost to them. We have Cal at 8. And we have Washington State at 7. We have not beaten a single team. Albeit we've only played one team in the top 6. However, the first couple of Pac-12 games were all...
We'll talk about that. Okay. I think all Washington State is a top 6 team in the Pac-12.
Though. Okay.
I think they got into a rut. I think Mike Leach's message might have gotten across to them.
Being fat and funny, fun and entitled and all that. Happy and entitled.
I think the message got through to them because they did show some fight against Arizona State. And that was my big takeaway from the game, was not just the Arizona State winning, but it wasn't like they took the lead back and Washington State gave up. They fought back, and so it was a good game to the end. It's not like they played a team that quit. Mm-hmm. Whereas with Cal, yeah, it seemed like Cal had kind of I don't know that they quit, but they just couldn't get it done without their starting quarterback. But I do think if their quarterback hadn't gone down, the game would have been a completely different dynamic. And so I don't want to say Arizona State loses because I don't know. Arizona State's offense has gone off to some slow starts against teams. I think they might have kicked it up in the high gear if it turned into that type of game, which, you know, it ended up being close just because that's how they played them. They right. just play them close. So I think Cal is still a passable team. I'll give it that they aren't – the Cal team we beat is not good. Washington State I see as a good win. And Michigan State, you know what? It's Mark D'Antonio over at coach there. They can beat anybody. I mean, they haven't beaten anybody this year. But as long as he's the coach there and has good enough personnel that they can beat just about anybody on a given day. I don't think this is their best team, but I still think it's a good team. Aside from that, though, yeah, I think the only great team we've played is Utah, and we look terrible against Utah.
That's right.
I would argue the Washington State and Michigan State are at least pretty good. Not great, but at least pretty good teams. And the last point I'll make is, regardless, because I would agree that we haven't played a tough schedule, but we have beaten the teams we're supposed to beat, with the exception of Colorado.
Let me say.
But okay. Otherwise, we've beaten everyone we're supposed to beat. Utah's not a bad loss. I mean, I can live with that one. Okay. So
no, I can definitely live with that one too. And this is, honestly, I do kind of feel this sentiment. This is much more of something. This was an easy one for me to argue because I really do believe that, you know, when we started this season, like, God, yeah, this first half of this season isn't easy. Like, we got to go up the Cal. You know, we got to go to Michigan State. That's going to be a loss in my eyes. Like Colorado, I know they're going to be good with a new coach. And, you know, Washington State was finished number 10 in the nation last year and stuff. And now just looking at it, like, yes, it's tough when you beat a team for the other team to still be good or keep a good record because you just gave them a loss. I understand that. But when it's just, I find it funny when all the teams we've beaten, there's not, like, you know, like Michigan State, they could be, you know, 6-1 right now. If they were actually, like, really good, you know, with the only loss being the Arizona State. But they're not. They're 4-3. And the same with Cal. Like, I understand their quarterback went out. But you know what? Quarterback or not, you lose to the worst team in the Pac-12, Oregon State. And, like, that's saying something. Like, Colorado just, like, giving up this season. And, yeah. So, you know, it's crazy, I don't believe it, you know, 100%. But I can see where someone would come up with this argument and be like, yeah, well, you know what? The second half of this season where we play our number one Pac-12 team, Oregon, we play our number five team, USC, and our number six team, Arizona, in the next 5 weeks.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But what I would say, like, Michigan State, okay, they're 4-3. One of their losses is to a 5-2 Arizona State. So yeah. If we had that loss, let's say we lose that game, then we're 4-3, and right. They're 5-2. So then, you know.
Yeah.
At that point, it's like.
Right. And that's what I said, that, like, when you give a team a loss, it's hard for them to still be.
Yeah. Especially, you know, college football, one loss can really make your record look bad. You know, like, there's a 6-6, 7-5.
Mm-hmm.
It's a one loss difference, but it.
It's a huge looks margin. Very different. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah, I don't know. That's okay. That is part of it. Arizona State, you could say they gave a good team a loss because that game could have gone either way. If it ended a different way, then yeah. We're 4-3 right now. They're 5-2. That's so right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now, can we both agree that the second half of the season where we have five games left is going to be harder than the first half of the season?
Certainly.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, right. I think we've seen enough then. Now. I think we've seen enough now to know that we are playing at least four of the best.
Yeah.
Pac-12.
And I will say, we get a lot of those, you know, we do play, our last five games are UCLA, USC, Oregon State, Oregon, and Arizona. We have three of those games against Oregon, USC, and Arizona all at home. Could be the other way around. So, yeah, that sets the Devils up a little better. But, okay. Well, that was fun.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on. Next segment, Caleb. Another new one for you guys listening at home. So, we have our Week 8 Pac-12 power rankings set up here on our table. Again, for you all listening at home, review. Number 12 is Oregon State. 11, UCLA. 10, Stanford. 9, Colorado. 8, Cal. 7, Washington State. 6, Arizona. 5, USC. 4, Arizona State. 3, Washington. 2, Utah. And number 1, Oregon. Now, a little bit different that we're going to do things here. So both me and Caleb get two picks, and we can shuffle up that one team either up or down in the rankings and let it affect, you know, something. So let's say we think Stanford should actually be one up. Instead of at 10, we think they should be at 9. So we can flip Stanford into number 9, bringing Colorado into number 10. And you can bring them up or down as little as you want. Now, a cool little thing is if, let's say, Caleb picks a team that should go up and I don't agree with it, I can put them right back as one of my picks. But again, we'll see this. So, Caleb, I'm going to give you the board first here. What do you want to change?
Okay, well, there are two I really want to make, but I'll make this one first because I don't think you'll disagree. USC easy over one. Arizona State.
Yep.
USC looks really good. They
yeah.
Lost to Notre Dame, a loss to BYU on ESPN, where BYU is just a juggernaut, and then and then a loss to Washington. With their third-string quarterback
play. And it's a tough. They've played a tough schedule so far, and I don't think their record shows how good that team actually is. Same with Washington. You know, they have three losses, but one of them's against Oregon, and the other one is against, I know, Cal. And who else did they lose to? I know it was a Pac-12 team. Was it? Oh, it was Stanford. That was just a wild. Like, okay, so I just kind of debunked my own statement there. But I think we're going to keep Washington at 3.
And with USC, Yeah, their loss to BYU, it was the first primetime game that their quarterback played. Well, not primetime. It was an ESPN game, though, for their quarterback. And
they played really well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they played well.
They did.
Yeah.
So it's just, to me, they've got so many good receivers. And their running game is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Their defense is a little questionable, but it doesn't quite matter because of how good their offense is. So, yeah, USC, I would almost make the case for them as number three, but Washington beat them pretty soundly. Yeah. So we'll keep Washington there. Yeah.
Okay. My pick, I'm gonna shift Washington State from the number seven spot to the number six, moving Arizona into number seven. I mean, USC blew out Arizona. They benched Khalil Tate. Washington State blew out Colorado. That's an obvious one for me. You got to move Washington State up into the first half of the rankings.
Yeah, I was going to do the same thing. Okay. I still think Arizona is pretty good, though. I still think the top seven teams in the Pac-12, Cal would be in there too if they still have their quarterback. But otherwise, the top seven teams, I think they're all pretty good.
Yeah, I would say so. I'd say so. Like, Arizona's, they're flirting. I don't really know if they're good or not. We'll see. I still think the jury's out on them.
You know what's funny is before the Arizona game started, I was saying to my brother, we were talking about Khalil Tate, because I said, you know, if nothing else, Khalil Tate is a pretty good player. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not super consistent, but he'll put points on the board. No matter what, he's going to put points on the board. And then he got yanked out of the game after scoring no touchdowns. And I don't know if they just determined the game to be a loss and yanked him, or if they just...
screw it. Like,
I haven't seen enough to know if they're just giving up on him, because I'm thinking, wasn't he on Heisman watch at the start of last year?
Because
They thought Kevin Sumlin would work his magic. And anyway, it's... Who knows? I guess we'll find out in a few weeks. So,
okay. Yeah. Who do you got? What do we want to change here?
You know, I'm putting Colorado... I almost want to swap Colorado and UCLA, but no way am I putting UCLA above. So I'll swap Colorado and Stanford.
Okay.
And I'm not... Yeah, that's the thing. Stanford's not good either.
No, they aren't.
But Colorado's gone blown out bad.
They have.
2 weeks in a row.
And I don't know what to make of Stanford. Like, they beat Washington, and then they come back and look... absolutely god awful at home against UCLA. Yeah, I don't know.
I think part of it is injuries.
It is. And their offensive line is wrecked. Oh, it's brutal.
Yeah. So I'm fine having Stanford there on the basis that, well, when they're healthy, they're good. Mm-hmm. Okay, no, they aren't good, but they're better than Colorado. Yeah, that's... This is a tough one. You could even switch that back. I don't know, man.
I'm going to take... Like, this is tough because we're dealing with really bad teams at this point. I'm gonna pull a bold one, and I'm going to move Stanford two spots. So I'm going to move Colorado back up into the 9 spot, and I'm going to move UCLA into the 10 spot. I'm putting Stanford down here right now. If they're healthy, they do not belong in the 11 spot. You know, they're playing with, I believe, their third-string quarterback now. They have, like, 4 injuries on their offensive line. They deserve to be at least number 7, if not in the top 6. But with the team they have right now, I don't see them winning, like, at all the rest of the season. It's just their offense was pitiful, couldn't move the ball at all. I got to move them into the 11 spot. I don't know. I just think with the team they got, it's too weak to leave them above. Especially, like, you know, it's... And I know they've beaten Washington. And again, this is why the Pac-12 is just up in the air so much. But...
And, you know, Washington almost ruined the entire Pac-12.
They did. They almost did.
I had picked them as my underdog.
You did.
And late in the game, I was like, hey, I'm looking pretty good right now.
Yeah.
And
you know what? I was rooting for Washington in that game, which is tough because, like... I was like, no, I need to root for Oregon because I want Oregon to get into the playoff. But I really like Washington. I don't know why. I love Seattle. I love the color Chris purple.
Peterson. I love Chris Peterson.
I like
so
dogs.
Much, yeah, that's true. Yeah, but Chris Peterson, he's just I still
a good coach. Yeah,
such a soft spot because, like,
Boise State was your team back in the day.
And I still love watching them for that reason, because a lot of his influence, I mean, his offensive coordinator from that Fiesta Bowl and from the Kellen Moore era is the coach right now. So they're still fun to watch. They're still awesome, and it's Chris Peterson. He's just an awesome coach. Built a great program up there, and they're still. I mean, they unfortunately lost this week, but they were number 14 in the country, which they're still going. They're still chugging along. And I mean, they're playing with their backup when they lost this week.
Sure.
In fairness, so was BYU. But I think Boise State's quarterback's a little better.
Yeah, so. A little bit more drop-off between number one and number two there. Yeah,
but, you know, I do have a soft spot for Chris Peterson still. A big reason I'm such a big college football fan is I loved watching Boise State when he was there, and still can't help but root for him. I love watching him. Took an underdog into a top five program in the country for the years he was there.
Yeah.
I want him to see him do the same with Washington. So far, he's been pretty good at keeping them as a top 10 team.
Yeah. There's a little drop off here, but they get Jacob Eason. Jacob Eason back again next year, so yeah.
Yeah.
They'll be fine.
They will be.
All right, guys. So there you go. I'm not gonna say the bottom six just because it's just garbage down here. But top six. Washington State at number six, number five, Arizona State, number four, USC now, number three, Washington, number two, Utah, number one, Oregon. I feel pretty confident, right? I like that. That those six.
Yeah, and I'm
this
I'm,
the bottom six. I don't really know.
And
still,
I think
but
that Utah and Oregon have separated themselves from the rest of the pack.
If this was like a bike race, if this was like the Tour de France and stuff, like they would be quite a bit
ahead of Lance Armstrong
pack.
Right now after roiding up before the game.
Absolutely.
Or before whatever they call those.
And then I would say there's a next pack in the next four. And then I think there's a little bit of drop off, and I don't know about the bottom six, but I think there's not as big of a gap between Washington State and Arizona as there is between Utah and Washington, but I do think there's a little bit of a gap.
I might even
there.
Put a gap between Washington, USC, and Arizona State.
Okay.
Washington State. Slight gap.
Little gap.
Slight
there.
Gap.
I can see that. I can see that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, let's get into it. We're moving on here. All right, little Pac-12 pick'em game here. We still have to come up with a title for this, Caleb, but we're just going to call it the Pac-12 pick'em game for right now. Again, rules, guys listening at home, we have our underdog, our little favorite, and our big favorite. Underdog is a team we think is not favored to win, but we think can win and pull it out. Our little favorite is a team that is favored to win, but we don't think is going to cover the spread. And the big favorite is a team that is favored to win and we think is going to cover the spread and win by a little bit more. Now, we've added a cool little extra little pick here. So, one of the rules with this is once a team is picked from a matchup, you can't pick that team again in a different category. With there only being four or maybe five matchups each week in the Pac-12, sometimes there's not enough matchups here that we like. So, we're installing a wild card pick that you can put in any of the other three categories if you want. Now, this wildcard pick, it can be any matchup in the nation, anywhere. It doesn't matter about the conference, region, teams, doesn't matter. Any matchup. And it's all based completely on the spread. So there's, you know, obviously there's four picks. You can either pick the favorite team to either cover or not, or the underdog to not cover or cover. You know, again, pretty simple there. If you pick correctly, it's 4 points. If you don't pick correctly, it's -4. So a little bit extra points, but again, can kind of hurt you right now. Now, we have also finally decided on a really cool prize to do with this. So me and Caleb, we're going to play this game through the end of the regular season of college football. At that point, we'll kind of count up all the points that we get, and whoever doesn't have the more points than the other person is going to buy tickets to the ASU basketball game against St. Mary's December 18th at the Phoenix Suns Arena. So pretty cool right there. Pretty hyped. I have a 1 point lead right now. I got 3 points after last week. You have two. Okay, let's get into it. As always, I'll give you first kind of pick at underdog if you're going to pick one here.
Underdog? So my underdog is my wild card.
Oh, baby. Okay.
That is Auburn.
Okay, so
over LSU.
Where's that game at? Is that in Auburn? Oh, I mean, not in Auburn, but is it at Auburn or?
I think it is.
Okay.
Maybe it's LSU. I actually. I think I checked that this morning when I made the pick, but I don't remember now.
Let's see, because I was looking at that pick too, and it should be right. It's actually at LSU.
Okay, it's at LSU. LSU is favored by
11.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, basically I see it as I don't think LSU covers, but okay. I also see a lot of potential for an upset here, and part of me, it's just I'm really rooting for an upset because that takes out another undefeated SEC team.
It does. I'm highly rooting for, yes. I'm rooting for Auburn in that game.
Yeah, so for this one, it was a no-brainer. I said, oh, man, I want this to happen so bad. So my wild card
So you're picking LSU to not cover.
I'm picking LSU to not cover, and I'm hoping Auburn pulls this win off.
Okay.
So, all right. Yeah, so there we go. My underdog is Auburn.
Okay, so I'm going to write that down. So your wild card is – I'm just going to put Auburn. Okay. I am also going to pick a wild card for the underdog slot. I meant to do this before we started, Caleb, but here are the Pac-12 matchups we get to pick from. USC at Colorado. USC is favored by 12.5 points. ASU at UCLA. ASU is favored by only 4 right now. That's weird. Arizona at Stanford. Arizona is favored by 1 point. Cal at Utah. Utah favored by 19. Yikes. Wazoo at Oregon. Oregon's favored by 14. I don't like any of those underdog picks, so I'm also going to go wild card here. And I'm going to pick Texas at TCU. And I'm picking Texas to cover. They're favored by 1 point.
Okay.
I'm pretty much just picking Texas
to win.
They're
expecting it to be that close.
I know. I don't understand. Like, I know, like, TCU was ranked earlier in the season, and it is at TCU.
Wait, so TCU is favored?
No, Texas is favored. Texas is favored by a point. But only one. Like, I understand, like, they went to almost overtime with Kansas the other day, but no. I don't know. I think, and of course, now I'm going to have to go back on my word next week when Texas loses, but... I'm picking Texas to cover as my wild card for my underdog my underdog category. Okay, for my little favorite category, I'm picking Utah.
Gosh dang it.
It's such an easy pick.
Booyah.
I knew it. Okay, so again, Cal is at Utah. Utah is favored by 19 points. Do I think Utah could win by at least 19 points? Absolutely. But with the rules of this game is with the little favorite, you still get a point if the favored team wins and covers. You do get 2 points if they don't cover and win. But again, like Utah's going to win this game, so I'm guaranteed at least a point. So there you go. You don't have your wild card pick anymore. You gotta pick a team. Who are you going with?
Okay. So I had a couple backups. I'm debating between these right now. So for my big favorite.
No, you're a little favorite. You gotta pick little favorite.
I mean, yeah, that's what I mean. Little favorite. I guess I'll just say, yeah, because this is tough. I already used my wild card. So I'll just say Arizona State, little favorite. I know they like to play the game close. I think they win. I do think they cover the spread, but even if they don't, I think they win.
Okay. So, guaranteed yourself a point there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we'll talk about that game in a little bit. Don't want to get ahead of ourselves here. But, okay. You get your big favorite next. Who are you going with here?
Gosh, there's one. So, U of A is, like, the easiest one. I got to go U of A just because they're only favored by 1 point.
Yeah.
Over Stanford. And Stanford's in shambles right now.
Yeah, that's true.
U of A just got embarrassed. I think they bounce back. Against
that's an easy pick.
Not as good. Yeah, so
it's an easy pick.
Yeah, there's another game I wanted to pick, but this one's just it's easy. I'll go U of A.
Okay.
I'd love for them not to.
Yeah, me too. I would absolutely love it if it would lose, but no, they're not going to. Okay, my big favorite, I'm going to go with Oregon. They're at home against Washington State. They're favored by 14 points, but I don't know. I don't really believe in Wazoo all that much, and Oregon's really good, and their defense is pretty solid still. I know they gave up a ton of points to Washington this past weekend, but I think they're going to make a good bounce back here. So I'm picking Oregon to cover that 14 points at least.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. There we go. So your little favorite was... Oh, yeah, ASU. Okay. I'm going to put ASU because I can never remember these. And I picked my big favorite was Oregon. My little favorite was Utah. And my wild card was Texas.
So okay. You know how last week we were talking about how Arizona State was having to play on the Pac-12 network?
Mm-hmm.
Well, something fun this week is USC Colorado will be on ESPN too.
USC Colorado. Well, that sucks.
Who wants
to watch that game?
Neither team is ranked. Now, granted, USC is pretty good, and I'm sure they have some sort of TV deal, or I don't know. But
every game,
but yeah,
a primetime game.
We had a head-to-head ranked match of number 17 versus number 13, and it was on the Pac-12 network. And now USC Colorado gets an ESPN2 game. So there's that. I thought that was just a fun bit of information.
Yeah, and we get to enjoy another Pac-12 game this week on the network that we love. And something that I just absolutely adore about this network is that whenever there's a controversial call by the refs, guess what they don't do? Show the replay.
Yeah.
Because it's all state-run. It's a state-run network. So, like, why would you, if you're the big guy on Pac-12... Like, well, you already know that your refs are kind of a little bit controversial and a little bit sometimes. So if you ran a network and they made controversial calls, what would you not want to do is, like, call them out on it.
Yeah.
So, like, and I saw this a ton of times against Utah. Like, why am I not seeing a replay on this flag? And it's because it's run by the Pac-12 network, which runs the referees, which run the entire freaking conference. And like every time there's like something bad that kind of happens towards the network, they're not going to talk about it. It's, oh my God, it pisses me off.
There's so much that they won't even talk about. Like when they're talking about the targeting, they're like, yeah, that's not targeting. And they wouldn't even talk about, shouldn't that be a personal foul though?
Right.
So yeah it's very frustrating.
Yeah. All right, Caleb. Well, let's move on to our last segment here. Let's get into a little bit of Arizona State versus UCLA. This game is at 4 p.m. this Saturday in the Rose Bowl in Pasadena. Yes, ASU, they're favored by 4 points. I find that to be a little bit interesting, but again, whatever. I don't care. The last thing we're going to do is make claims on what the spread should be.
At this I think they just know. They just know we don't win by comfortable margins.
Yeah, and when we lose by a lot. No. Okay. Well, anyway, here I wrote down some things for you, Caleb, just for you and for you guys listening at home. So, what does UCLA do well? Not much.
Not a lot.
not that much. The one thing I could kind of say was I did watch their last game against Stanford. Again, Stanford's offensive line is worse than ours right now. They had 7 sacks against Stanford. They were, you know, take that with a grain of salt because they have been averaging only 1.5 per game this season. I will say their rushing defense is a little bit better than it was last year. They were allowing 208 yards of rushing last year. Now it's only 147. Again, take this with a grain of salt because before Stanford, they were allowing 503 total offensive yards per game to their opponents, which is like not good at all. So let's talk about more about what does UCLA do bad because we could go on forever about this. First thing, Caleb, quarterback play. Dorian Thompson-Robinson, who will, from now on till the end of forever, will be known as DTR. He's spotty at best. He's already thrown 7 interceptions this year. He had a couple good games so far, but I don't know. Overall, he doesn't look like a Chip Kelly quarterback to me.
Everything about UCLA is so anti-Chip Kelly. It's almost like he's trying to prove a point of, like, oh, I don't just play football this way I played at Oregon.
Right.
I can do other stuff too. But yeah, I mean, so not only are they not good, they're also kind of boring.
They are. They're very just bland.
Which I thought it would be the opposite. When he got there, I was kind of excited. I said, oh, okay, maybe he can, you know, spark that program a little bit. And
if anything, it's gone the other direction.
No, yeah, no one talks about UCLA for good reason, too. The only time we talk about them is when we're playing them.
Nobody goes to the games. I mean, I remember the game against Oklahoma, which was like only their third game of the season. That Rose Bowl, which holds like a good 105,000 people, had like 30,000 people in it. So it was completely empty. Also, they don't know how to play at home. They're 0-3 this season at the Rose Bowl, which I think is pretty hilarious.
And they've got and they're similar to Arizona State in that they have a bunch of freshmen, sophomores playing. But the difference is that Herm Edwards' freshmen, sophomores have been good.
Right.
UCLA's,
have not looked very good.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah. So, which Chip Kelly apparently is not known to be a great recruiter. They just.
Yeah.
Oregon just, it was the brand that was selling people. You know, it's like.
Yeah, now you go to LA where they already, I mean, it's not like USC is recruiting good, but they always recruit, you know, that's the LA school. And so now you got competition, you know, within your own environment, you know, you have a team that recruits better than you. You know, you got to bring in a good recruiter if you want to gain any ground on them.
Yeah,
and it's not happening.
USC arguably gets the best recruits in the country outside of the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even then, it's only the top half of the SEC that's getting better recruits than them for the most part.
Because
they pretty much get all the 5-star guys on the West Coast.
Yep.
So,
yep.
That's just how it is. Yeah. And so UCLA, they've got it cut out for them, being in a place like California where there are so many good schools. And especially USC.
Yeah. Caleb, one thing I did want to kind of, I think a cool matchup, like a key matchup this weekend for them is UCLA's wide receiver Kyle Phillips versus Chase Lucas. Kyle Phillips, he's kind of their number one receiver, and he's been kind of improving game to game, and he had a really good game against Stanford. He had over 100 receiving yards, 2 touchdowns. He was responsible for 48% of DTR's total completions for that game. Chase Lucas is our number one cornerback. I kind of want to see that matchup. If you can shut that down, their running back is really spotty. He's averaging less than 100 yards per game. He's only averaging 95 right now. That's half of pretty much DTR's completions and looks and stuff. And so if you can shut him down, there you go. But Caleb, I want to ask you, what does UCLA want? If they want to win, what do they have to do?
Well, I would highlight turnovers in this, but that didn't go too well in the last game.
No. My key to victory against Utah was win the turnover battle, and they won it 4-2.
Yeah, and I just remember, I think that because we were talking about the turnovers, there was the interception right before halftime, which it's a Hail Mary. It doesn't quite count.
And the other fumble was late in the game. It was Jack Jones on the punt return. Yeah.
And the game was lost at that point.
Yeah, I mean, they had like probably less than 5% chance to win at that point. They needed to start marching down the field when they couldn't march down the field at all to begin with.
Yeah, that was
basically
the last nail in
that. That was it. Yeah.
But yeah, they basically dominated the turnover battle. But yeah, and this one, I actually do think that it does come down to turnovers. If you're talking about two teams with really young players, UCLA has their offense has gone hot and basically their only wins. And so the one thing that would prevent that type of game from happening is if they turn the ball over.
Mm-hmm.
I think for them, it's just a matter of protecting the ball. And that's about as much as they can do is just avoid turnovers. Because I think they'll put points up on the board. Maybe not a lot, but I think they'll put points up on the board. But turnovers would kill their team. Like any momentum that they have, their quarterback's not very good. But he's had good games.
Right.
So I just think if they have early turnovers in this game, they're shooting themselves in the foot, and I don't think they walk off from that one. So I think
Got to play a clean game. If you're UCLA, you got to play a clean game.
Yeah, penalties and turnovers. Basically, it's just a matter of discipline, and decision making for them. That's I don't know. That's what I think it'll come down to.
Okay. And if I'm ASU and I want to win, I think the big thing is you got to get Jaden comfortable in the pocket. Like, that was one thing, and it, you know, we know that Eno's going to have trouble running every week, especially if you don't have a passing game to kind of flaunt, you know, if you're one-dimensional, if they know, if that defensive line knows they can get to the quarterback and they start handing off, Eno's not going to start running for anything. So you got to have both sides. You cannot become one-dimensional. You can't allow defenders in the backfield in less than 3 seconds. Like, you can't – if you want to win, you got to give Jaden some time back there. You know, this is – it's not going to be a super hostile environment like it was in Salt Lake. It's supposed to be like 85 degrees and sunny. So it's going to be like nice conditions and stuff. So you don't have that fighting them. So just get him comfortable back there. Allow him some time. Keep his jersey nice and clean. They're going to be wearing pretty sick ones. There's these Adidas alternative all-white ones. They're not my favorite, but they are pretty sweet. So keep his jersey pretty clean. You know, don't allow him to get all tossed around. I think if ASU wants to win, that they got to do that.
You know, this is something that I thought of when we were talking about how the Arizona State offense, how bad it looked against Utah and how bad the line looked. And just I said, I've never seen anything like it. But then I did remember in the NFL, Minnesota Vikings versus Chicago Bears, it basically looked like that Arizona State game where Kirk Cousins was getting hit just about every play. And yes. And the throws he did make were so rushed that they just weren't good throws. Mm-hmm. And they just got ripped apart in the national media for that. And since then, Kirk Cousins has been incredible, and the line has blocked really well, like 3 weeks in a row. So I'm kind of hoping that, and by the way, I think I would much take, NFL, NCAA, not quite the same, but Jaden Daniels, I think, is a much more composed player than Kirk Cousins under pressure. Mm-hmm. But, this is I just want to see them bounce back in that same way, because I want them to kind of say, okay, we can move the ball and we're going to make a point to move the ball to protect Jaden Daniels. Like, I don't know, take it personally how badly you got embarrassed. Like, have some pride in what you do.
And you're not facing the same caliber defense. UCLA, they give up like 500 plus yards a game.
No, yeah. I mean, it was the same with the Vikings. You're going against Khalil Mack, and he's not their only pass rusher in Chicago. So a lot of people look bad against them. And with Utah's defensive line, they have some total studs there. Like, they were incredible. That defensive line was just outstanding. So I'm just hoping that they you know, now that they're playing someone not as good, that they realize, okay, this is how we need to play, because we know how good other defensive lines out there are. Like, we can't get embarrassed by UCLA.
Right.
I just hope they take it personally, what happened last week, and they protect Jaden Daniels, and that they actually do try to put points on the board. I just hope that they're hungry on offense all around. And I'm hoping for a big game for Ayuk
after a very, you know, less than stellar game.
Yeah, for basically everyone but him. He was like my key to the game last week. It's got to be
Ayuk's got to go after that secondary.
And he had one catch for 7 yards. Yep. And it's just,
there it was.
That can't happen.
At least one of our keys worked. Like, yours just worked in the opposite fashion.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Score wise, who do you got?
I got Arizona State. I want my spread to be correct. So, shoot. Because I was going to
you
say.
You
got to
go more than 4 points. No, you have to go less than 4 points because you picked them to be your little favorite.
I'll say 20 to 17 Arizona State wins.
Okay. All right, I picked this last night before we picked our pick'em game. So this isn't just a slight at you, but I'm going 31-27.
Okay.
Only one more point. I think they cover that, but no, they if they when they win they We know the Devils. They keep it close.
Yeah, they love to. I mean, it is almost more fun when they win by close margins sometimes, because
I think as a whole, from a non-Devil perspective, this team is a lot of fun to watch because they're in it the entire time. As a Devil fan, I freaking hate it.
I'd love to see them blow out teams from time to time.
All the time.
But it is fun when it comes down to the last 2 minutes. Usually they pull out in the last 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Which is always fun when your team makes a clutch play late in the game.
It is.
You're like, man, these guys are so clutch. But then, you know, you kind of forget about everything else that happened in the game when they have a clutch drive. So, I don't know. I guess it's good and bad in some ways. But
yeah. Okay. Well, there you have it, guys. Pick them this week. We'll see what happens. But, you know, last week we did pick them to lose, so we were correct on that point.
We were correct. They lost by much more than we picked, but we were correct.
And unfortunately, we didn't get a nice Chase Lucas yelling at us in the video kind of thing. But that's okay.
Yeah, because
there's always another week. There's always another week to not pick them.
I won't be picking them against Oregon. So. They'll have a chance to prove me wrong there, too. And USC, I'll leave that alone for now.
Okay. Well, thank you guys for listening at home. As always, we super appreciate it. We have so much fun making these things. This was a super long one, so if you're listening to this, thank you for getting through it. It was a big boy. But, we'll talk to you guys after the game against UCLA next week. See kind of how things shape up in the Pac-12 and the nation. And hopefully the Devils are 6-2 at that point and get their bowl eligibility before the end of October.
Hey, that's not bad at all.
No.
That's not bad at all.
Not bad at all.
Better first half of the season than last year.
It was. So it has been. Yeah.
Now the second half. Well,
yeah. Now we really start playing. But
this is where the fun begins.
Yeah. But as always, guys, thank you, Caleb. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. And, we'll look forward to talking to you guys next week. Forks up.